Rachel, if you'd join me, please. Yeah, you. You ever believe in divine appointments? I've had a number of divine appointments in my life, and that's another set of stories. But one of the divine appointments in my life of the last several years was to meet Vito and Rachel. We were seeking how to do church better through 3DM, an organization that helps make disciples. And we noticed, Glenn and I noticed this couple, wanted to get together, had a few failed attempts. Finally, we had lunch one day and learned that that was the very day that he was letting go of his ministerial license with the United Pentecostal Church, which happened to be the same denomination that we were a part of, so we had a lot in common. And then as we got to know Rachel better, we learned that she's a therapist and an experienced counselor. We have a lot in common there. In fact, while I'm on that subject, I'm going to be supervising her for the next 6 months, and if you want free counseling from a very competent woman of God, come see Rachel while she's here today. But anyway, one of the reasons I wanted to invite them today is because of their experience with the Holy Spirit. They have a remarkable testimony, and on Pentecost Sunday, I didn't want to make us smarter about the Holy Spirit. I wanted to make us more experienced with the Holy Spirit. So let's invite Rachel and Vito. I'm getting dry. Hope you don't get dry. Let's welcome them again.
Thank you.
I
love you.
I think John is trying to say something about my IQ, but not Rachel's. You will get smarter if you listen to Rachel. But yeah, I'm Vito. This is my wife, Rachel. We're so thankful that we've met John and Glenda, as he mentioned, a very important time in our life, and they became friends, elders, a place of accountability and comfort, and we couldn't be more grateful for what God has done in our life. And of course, meeting the leaders here, Micah, Pastor Micah, we just met in Lacey this week, and really everybody that we've met, we feel so at home here. So we're really grateful to be part of this. I got my friend Jesse and our friend Maddie that are here with us. They drove a while to be here. So
yes,
grateful. Yeah, Rach, you want to introduce yourself? We're going to do this together today.
So just want to say what a blessing it's been to meet John and Glenda and to sort of discover all of these connections along the way. And that's the exciting thing about the Lord is he knows all things, but we get to discover those things as we walk with him. And one of the beautiful discoveries has been getting to know this couple. And I want to make this clear. Glenda is clearly not old enough to be my mother, but she does have the same name as my mother. And you don't hear that name very often, so it's always fun to be kind of Glenda and Rachel. My mom lives in the UK, so you know my family they've done very well being part of our family, supporting our children, and now their great-grandchildren, but it's just another little special connection, not to mention what a wonderful baker and cook she is, and we get to have that. I know you guys all know.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we were here actually with Glenda, Rachel's mom, I think it was 3 years ago on Pentecost Sunday. And so it's really cool to be here on Pentecost Sunday. It's a really important date for me. You'll hear a little bit more about that. And I think it's a very important date for the church. And John preached the message that I'll share the verse. I think I'll try and pick up where he left off. But it was interesting to me. I talked to a guy, I happened to work with a colleague that was in Israel this week. And I guess it was Friday. And he said, we're just getting ready for Shavuot. And I was like, oh yeah, it's Pentecost. I was like, well, 50 days out. And he said, yeah, he was out on a farm. And the way they were celebrating was, you know, they see it as a Feast of Weeks, a harvest festival, as well as the giving of the law, of course. And but it was like we're celebrating the new lambs and new harvests and new babies even. And he said, my kids are out in the field playing with the sheep or something that they had there. And so I think about Pentecost is a day of new beginnings, and it was a brand new beginning for the church. You know, you have this amazing experience where when they dedicated the tabernacle for the first time, the Spirit of the Lord came in, and they couldn't minister on the time of Moses. When they built the temple, Solomon's temple, the Spirit came in and filled that temple. to where they began standing up and praying, and they, as the Spirit came in, were on their faces. And when they dedicated Zerubbabel's temple, there was nothing like that. But it happened on the day of Pentecost, because the new temple is us. And the Spirit came into that upper room and filled those people, and something changed. And what John said 3 years ago was, he quoted from Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I love the scene. I always think of it like a movie. It says all the eyes followed Jesus, and he sat down, rolled up the scroll, and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And what John preached was that it was not just a personal experience, but it was something to empower the church to do the work of the ministry of Jesus. And I loved that. And I think for today, we're going to share how we were the recipients of the oppressed being set free, and the blind eyes being opened, and the prisoners being released, and experiencing that awesome liberty that Jesus gave, and how throughout our life we've tried to partner with him to bring that same experience to others, and through our life be part of that mission of Jesus. And anyway, I'll pause there, Rach, because we're doing this together.
Well, I think one of the wonderful things about the book of Acts is it's really just a series of stories about personal and communal encounters with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to share today. And I think the wonderful thing about stories is human beings have been telling stories for millennia, because there's something about stories that help us understand who we are. And of course, the Bible being the greatest story ever told, and a story that keeps on going, and we are invited into that story. So I think that's what we're going to share.
Yeah.
Vito's probably going to take the lead on this. I will chip in a little bit. It's a very long story, so we're not going to give you the full epic length of this story, but we are going to give you some highlights where God, for us, radically intervened in our lives. And truly, it was a heaven meets earth moment. And as Vito was sharing about the temple, when we look at the temple through the Word of God, and then, of course, us becoming the temple, that is that portal where heaven meets earth.
Yeah. Yeah. The book of Ephesians talked about, in Jesus, all things in heaven and earth were brought together. And so just before we get into the story, I want to make an agreement with you guys. Would you guys be willing to enter into an agreement? It's not going to be that hard, but here's the agreement. To preface it, you know, Jesus, when he started preaching, would say, "Repent, turn around, for the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of the sky, "is at hand." Meaning something from God's space is breaking into our space, and we need to turn around and receive that. That was his ministry, and he began to show what that looked like. Blind eyes being opened, and people with demon possession being set free, and he demonstrated it. But that was his basic message, was here, the kingdom is here. And you'll hear a little bit about Acts chapter 10. I resonate with it because it's the Italian guy named Cornelius. If you haven't figured it out, with a name like Vito and a nose like Vito, I am Italian. My family was made in Italy. I was born here barely, but I was conceived in Italy, so I like to say I was made in Italy. And Cornelius is this Roman centurion. I guess he oversaw 100 soldiers. And he has this desire for God. Peter's preaching to him, and the Bible says, as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. And so the agreement that I'd like to say is, if any time the kingdom of heaven starts to break into your life while we're preaching, or the Spirit decides to interrupt our story, it's totally okay with me for us to just begin to pray. And it's totally okay if you want to stand up and lift your hands and begin to pray. Like, you won't make me mad. And I want to just have an agreement that you might not get to hear the whole story today. If the Lord decides to move in and interrupt this today, I'm cool with that. I just want to see if you're cool with that. Is that okay? I see heads shaking. John says amen. So, okay. Anything else you want to add before we jump into the story? So we usually tell this story like, oh, that's great. I thought it was like a music, like
know,
a dancing or something.
Do like a routine.
Good. The video works. That's just great.
Good.
Thank you. We sent that to him last minute. You'll see why. Exactly.
Like divine.
Exactly. That's my walk-up music. So usually we'll tell this story like over coffee, over a dinner, our dinner table, you know, anywhere really. Not often in church sometimes, but very rarely. So we're just going to have to pretend like you're all at our house and we're having dinner and you said, like, how did you meet your wife? Because that's really how the story comes up a lot. So as I mentioned, I was raised in an Italian-American home. I lived in the city of Chicago. And we were, my grandfather was a very devout Catholic. We were kind of like okay Catholics. Like we would go to church on Christmas and Easter. I was, in the beginning, I went to Catholic school in the city and then we moved to Arlington Heights where Maddie's from. And then we were in public school. But I didn't really know about the Bible, but I knew about the cross. And I knew that my little childhood imagination that the gates of heaven were closed, and because Jesus died, the gates were open. And I thought, if that's true, then it's not like Christmas and Easter. It's not once a week on Sunday. Like, that's worth giving everything of my life to. If that's true, because that was such a big deal. Like, God came down and died in my place so that I could be set free. I'm like, that's about all I really understood. But it was almost enough to just get me to be like, God, if you're out there, if you're real, show me, and I'll serve you till I die. That was my prayer from probably as early as I can remember. But if you're not real, then I have my own plans for my life. And I didn't really believe that he was real. My plans were probably involved, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and being famous, and doing films, and all, you know, like, I wanted to do experience the world. But if it was true, then I had to surrender to God. And, I met Rachel in a directing class. You want to talk about anything?
Yeah, I'll just say briefly, when I was a TA in Chicago, one of the universities there, I had a professor who was leading an American Lit class, and we were just meeting the TAs with the professor, and we just shared a little bit. And he looked over to me, he said, "You're married to Vito Locascio?" He's like, "Give me five." So I definitely was not raised in an Italian home, obviously in the UK. Had a experience, an encounter with God when I was about 15. Wasn't raised with going to church. Parents were sort of nominally we would go, kind of similar story. But I kind of felt in my heart that there was something about Jesus that was real. So that was sort of the beginning of my journey. I came to the U.S. in the early 90s for graduate school, somehow to the University of Illinois. I remember when I first got there, I just was like, where am I? I don't know where I've come to. But we did meet in that first semester in a directing class, and I will not deprive Vito of his favorite
she
line.
She directed me in a scene, and she's been directing me ever since.
Loves to say that.
But I need the drums.
Yes.
So fast forward, we met, we were friends, we would go out for burgers, we would talk about theater and directing, and then I asked her out, or she came to our house. Actually, it was like a ploy. She was going to help me with a scene, but it was like our first date. And we now lead a ministry called the Eternal Buzz Cafe, which is, it's got a discipleship-making element to it. It has a cafe that employs people in alcohol and drug recovery, and then it has an arm that's creative arts therapy and a nonprofit. And the reason we chose that name is if you walked into my house, it was a little shack, two bedrooms. There was a lot of partying that was going on in that house. Rachel always said it was like a haze that came into there. And above, like, there was a stereo system and all these empty liquor bottles. And then at the very top was a little bumper sticker that was misplaced that said, "In search for the eternal buzz." And Rachel walked in and looked at that and thought in her heart that first day, I know what that is that he's looking for. That's Jesus. And we went out, and I asked her a question that I probably asked all my friends, my good friends, certainly anybody I would date, like, do you believe in God? And you get all kinds of answers. Oh, yeah, I believe there's many ways to God, or I believe there's many gods, or, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, nobody ever answered like Rachel. She just said, oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I asked her what time it was. She's like, 9:42. Like, it was like a definitive, simple, and something inside of me grabbed a hold of that and said, I need to understand how she can be so sure that God exists. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, just that, you know, although I knew that God was real and how important the figure of Jesus was, I didn't really make the commitment that, you know, we talked about, that all-in commitment. I was really just still discovering, very into my studies. Theater was very important to me. So although I would not deny that God was real, Jesus was who he said he was, I wasn't living in a way that would reflect a Christian lifestyle. So
I guess the probably is the theme is sort of like God breaking in. Rachel had had an experience in England in a charismatic church, and there were times where she would even speak prophetically. Like she would say, if you walked into our house, we would roll you a joint and hand it to you as you walked in. And she would say, you're going to give out the gospel one day the way you hand out marijuana. And she would say something like, I'm leading you right now, but there's a day where you're going to lead me. And it was just like, even one time, and this is crazy, she's like, oh, there's a Bible in the drawer. This is in my parents' house in my bedroom, in the top drawer. And I'm like, no, there isn't. Like, this is my bedroom. Anyway, I opened the drawer, and there was a Gideon Bible in my drawer, which I don't know if I stole it from a hotel room. Like, I actually have no idea how that got there, but it was one of those Gideon Bibles, and I was just like, whoa. And it was just these moments. So anyway, we were dating, and then she was going to do her master's in British Columbia, Canada. So we decided that we would take a camping trip around the United States, end of my junior year. And we had three reasons to go. One was to find God. Two was to see if we loved each other enough to stay together long distance. And the third was to see the states, because none of us had really seen the states. We did 19 states in 30 days. We went into Tijuana, Mexico. We went up to British Columbia, Canada. So we did three countries in 30 days. And the first day we left, we had a Randall McNally map way before cell phones, and rented a car from the university, got camping gear, and I had saved up some cash money from nefarious, purposes, and I had, we just got in the car. And I was too hungover to drive. In fact, I remember I was laying in my bed, and I was like, Rach, she was getting ready in the bed. She's like, you're an idiot. She drove, and the storms, you know, these Chicago, like Illinois summer storms were so bad that we called the hotel rooms to get off the road. Well, the only place that was open, because all the truck drivers were off, was Jonesboro, Arkansas. So Saturday night, we went to Jonesboro, Arkansas, and the next morning was Sunday. And we're like, oh, I guess we kind of said we're going to go to church, we're going to pray every day, we're going to read the Bible a little bit. And so we're like, we should go to church. So we get in the car, and there is literally, I don't know if it was wood or cardboard, but an arrow that said church. And we turned. And then there was another arrow that said church. Like, we are in the sticks. I mean, we are in the middle of nowhere. I don't know who knows. Anybody know Jonesboro, Arkansas? Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's like kind of nowhere. I mean, we weren't even in this whatever the city is. Like, we were out. And so finally, we pull into the parking lot. Anything you want to say before?
No, keep going.
So we pull in the parking lot of a church, and there were people in it. Like, we didn't know what time the service started. I had never been outside of a Catholic church. We didn't know what kind of a church it was. It was probably a little smaller than this church. It's kind of two rows. And I don't know how long it had been going on, but there was singing that was happening. And there was an older woman. I probably wouldn't say she was so old now, but back then she seemed ancient. And she was leading worship. I was 21. My hair was down to my shoulders. I had my my shorts on, black t-shirt, big gold chain, my Birkenstocks. And I walked into this building. And the second I walked in the door, just tears started coming down my face. And I don't know why I was crying. Like, I didn't have an emotional response, but literally just tears started walking down my face. And then, like, people were lifting their hands, and they were singing. And then so, like, we kind of sat in the back. And for the whole hour that we were there, just tears just flooding down my face. And then the pastor comes out, and he was a wild man. He was, It was in Assemblies of God Church now, I understand, but he just walks out and he's preaching. It was 4th of July weekend. If you know, want real freedom, Jesus has got real freedom. And he's like jumping around and he is just on fire about deliverance from drugs and being set free by Jesus. And he is just talking to me and I am just, I'm just bawling. And he is just, I'm just like amazed at the way this guy is so passionate. And so at the end, well, no, even before that, the lady in front of us was praying, and she was speaking in a different language. And I grew up speaking Italian. It was my first language, but in Chicago. So I grew up, here, both languages. I've always been interested in languages. If someone's speaking a different language, like, I'll try and listen at the airport. Like, is that Russian? And so I'm listening to this person in front of me, and I'm blown away because she sounds like my girlfriend from England. Because sometimes when we would pray, I wouldn't recommend this, but this was like, we didn't know God, and here we are, we're sleeping together, and she would pray sometimes and speak with tongues. So let that theology figure out. And we didn't talk about it, we didn't say anything, but sometimes we'd be praying and she'd quietly, and so I'm listening to this lady, and I'm like, how on earth does she sound like my girlfriend, the same language? So my brain was confused, my heart was full, and my tears are just coming down my face. And at the end of that service, he's like, if you want to give your heart to God, come on down to the front. And he is just fired up. And I am the only person that he's talking to. Everybody else looks like you guys, even no offense, but even dressed nicer, because this is the early 90s. Like, not ties, maybe ties, but like really dressy, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, he's not talking to any of these people. He's obviously, and I'm like holding on, and finally like 5 minutes go on, and I am just like, he's like, if you make that first step down and God will meet with you. So I was like, okay, he is not going to stop. So I literally go out, and now I'm like trembling. I was thinking about this yesterday, and we were singing that song. I don't think we sang it today. When the Spirit, I feel my heart pound when I feel you move. I don't know how the lyrics go, but Spirit, yes. Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. My heart pound when I feel you, something. Anyway, that's what I was feeling. Like, my heart was pounding. My eyes are tearing up. I come up to the front. They led me through a sinner's prayer, and I was just barely going to get it out, blubbering, from a sinner. And then they handed me a Bible, and they called me Brother Vito and his wife, Rachel. And they sent us on our way to Graceland because that was the only spot that we had as a destination that we were going to go to for the first night. So anything else you want to add to that? Oh, I'm rolling.
Yeah, you're rolling.
Next year, Rachel goes to Canada. I think I met last year. And I wrote this pastor a long letter, like my whole story, a good kind of Catholic confession. Was like, this is who I am. And he wrote back and he said lots of things. But he said, find a good church, pray every day, read the Bible, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I went to Catholic church once a month on campus. I feel like I'm like an old man telling my kids, like, I would walk to church probably a good mile or two. And I remember going about once a month. My friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'll meet you at the bar later. Like, I just got to do this. And I remember my friend Mike, who was at church, and I knew him from high school, he sees me going up for communion, and he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't know. I was really drawn. I would pray at night. I read through the New Testament a couple of times, and every single night, I had nightmares. Every night, I was terrified in my dreams. I was running, I was being chased, I was jumping fences. I would sweat into my shirt, and then sweat into my sheets, and so I would take off my shirt, change shirts, put a towel down. We lived in a house that had a washer and dryer. I would throw sheets in the dryer sometimes. And like sometimes I literally just slept on a towel. I thought I was sick. I thought I was dying. I went to the student place where I thought maybe I had an STD or something. There was nothing physically wrong with me. And so I just had this battle. There was like, I would sin all day. It was really just weed. We were high all the time. Just sort of dabbling and stuff. And so it was just like this battle, and then at night I'd read the Bible and pray for 5 minutes, and then I'd have sweats and nightmares all night. And Rachel was going to Canada. Do you want to share a little bit about
that? Yeah, just that, I had felt like God had been knocking on the door of my heart for about 10 years. And I felt as though, this is probably not the case, because God is always more merciful than we think he is. But I felt like, the opportunity is now. You really need to find a church. You know, I would always get involved in my studies, whatever was going on in the university and theater and so on. And so I just got on my knees. It was Christmas time. I was in British Columbia, good old Canada. And I just prayed, Lord, help me find a church. Some of you who are younger than we are will not know what a Yellow Pages is, but I had a Yellow Pages, and I opened it and just found this church. It had Pentecost in the title, so I had some experience with that back home. I called. They had already started church, but the pastor said, we'll have a couple who live close to you. They'll pick you up next week. And when they did, kind of like Vito was sharing, you know, they were like 25 going on 55. They were so straight-laced seemingly to me, but they did take me, and I started gently kind of, I would sort of sit at the back and listen, and then I would share with Vito what was happening, because it was a fiery preacher too, and he would talk about, I'm getting on this train to glory, and I know that would appeal to Vito.
Oh yeah, so she's like, he's preaching about the train to glory. If you want to get on board. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And so anyway, I visit her. She's like, hey, graduated. Next day is church. Do you want to come to church in the morning? I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. And so we got there. This couple that was, you know, super straight-laced, smiley white teeth, brought us to church a half hour before church. And they're like, we pray before church. And I'm like, how? I've never prayed for a half hour. Like, what am I going to do for a half hour, you know? But at this point, I started to have a relationship with God. I mean, I had been a year kind of seeking him, trying to kind of get my life together. And so I went, knelt down, the men prayed on one side, women prayed on the other side of this small room, and the men were pretty quiet, but the women were so loud. They were like, oh God, and they're travailing and screaming and praying in tongues, and I was on my knees at this little folding chair saying, God, if these people are crazy, get me and Rachel out of here. But if this is real, I'm in. Because I had been to Grateful Dead shows. I had seen people tripping on acid, swirling and spinning. I had been to football games where everybody's just screaming in the crowds. Like, the intensity didn't, but it was like, is this real or is this phony? And so we went in and started the service. They started worshiping, same thing. Now I'm like shaking. And they stood up and had testimonies. Like, one lady is like, my granddaughter was asking about angels. And I saw the sun rise. It was a new day. And I was like, I'm bawling. And so I stand up, and I was like, about a year ago I was in a church like this, and I felt something, and the pastor just cut me off. He goes, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And I was like, no. He said, would you like to? And I was like, yeah, okay, you know. And so they stopped the service. I come up from the back to the front. He says, what's your name, son? Like, he didn't shout, this is a sinner. I was really grateful for that, you know. He just said, what's your name, son? I'm like, Vito. He said, Vito, the only thing you need to do to receive the Holy Spirit is to repent. And I'm like, you know what? I think I've been doing that for like a year. And he didn't question me. He said, okay. He goes, well then, if you feel comfortable, you can just raise your hands and begin to say hallelujah. So they kind of stopped the service. A few people got, I didn't know they were behind me. During this time, I don't really understand this. A little light fixture, the bottom of it broke and shattered, and they'd cleaned it up before we ever knew what was going on. It was about 10, 15 minutes. My hands are about this high. I started to say hallelujah. He put his hands on me, and I just felt like this wave, just this like in, we used to open up the fire hydrants in the summer, the fire department did, and the fire hydrant would just explode. It felt like that, like water flowing out just over me, all this emotion, but it wasn't emotion. I just felt overwhelmed. I had to start a stammering lips a little bit, but what I remember more than anything else is just this overwhelming joy and peace. And I kind of open my eyes after like 15 minutes, and I look, and Rachel's next to me. She's crying. There's like 10 people behind me. And then I go back and sit down. And then they finish the service, and then afterwards the visiting preacher came, and he said, hey, let me show you what happened. And then he shows me Acts chapter 10, Cornelius of the Italian band. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I can totally get it. And it says, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all them. I'm like, okay, that just happened to me. Like, I was reading along with it, and then it says, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So I said, do you want me to be baptized? And he's like, why don't you meet with the pastor? And I know we're short on time. So I spent with the whole day Tuesday with the pastor. Tell me about this heaven and hell stuff. Why do the women pray so loud? Why do you lift your hands? What's the speaking with tongues all about? Like, what's going on? And he said, great question. Pushed his Bible across the table and said, read this chapter and this verse. And I'm like, well, what's it say? What's it mean? He goes, read it again. Because if I tell you, I could be wrong or I could be lying to you. But if you read it in the book, you have to answer to God. And I told him afterwards, like, you good copped, bad copped me. Like, he was super nice, bought my soup, but he was hitting me with some scriptures like, if any man's name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he'll be cast in the lake of fire. I was like, oh, I don't want that. And then he showed me all the testimonies in the Acts, and then he shared his story, and I decided to be baptized that Sunday. I'm rolling. We go to her friend's house Tuesday night. She had just finished class. Rachel's still in class 31 years later. And so we had a six-pack of beer. We rolled a joint. She read our tarot cards, and we were telling her how I was going to be baptized that day. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I just felt sick. I felt, it wasn't, I had maybe half a beer. We hadn't even barely lit up a joint. And it was like, I felt like a hypocrite. I felt sick to my stomach. I went to the bathroom. Because the thing was, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't know any Christians. I knew one girl said she was a Christian, and she basically lived the same lifestyle that I lived. And I just didn't want to be a hypocrite. And so I went to the bathroom. I started washing my face. I felt sick. I came out. I said, "Rate," and I just planted. I just literally fell. Cut my head open a little bit. Not gushing blood, but like there was blood on my finger. I couldn't engage. I couldn't talk. I couldn't communicate, but I could understand what was happening. I could hear them. And she's like slapping me. Angie's like, "You know, if you don't snap out of this, we're going to throw you in the bath." And I was like, "Oh, I'm going to get baptized on Sunday." So they called a cab to take me to the emergency room because they didn't want to call an ambulance and explain it. And so maybe 10, 15 minutes went by. And in that time, the Lord spoke to me, spoke to my heart, and just said, "It's His way or it's my way. It's His way or it's my way." And for me, that summed up everything. I was either going to live for God or I was going to live for the devil. And I was like, "It's His way or my way." And I started to really count the cost. Rachel's aunt had given me a book called Hungry for More of Jesus by David Wilkerson that basically said you might lose your friends if you followed after Jesus. Like, you have to count the cost. And so I was thinking, like, heaven or hell. Then I felt like whatever makes Vito Vito was being ripped away, and I could feel myself leaving. And all the nightmares that I'd had were nothing compared to the fear that I had at that moment. I was absolutely terrified that I was dying and going to hell. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It just was like I had no control. And I was in that space, and then it was like heaven, hell, life, death. What are my friends going to say? What's my parents going to say? And so I really, like, was thinking, like, I don't know any Christians. I was like, "Okay, God, I'll serve you till I die." I popped up, sober as I am today. Looked at Rachel's friend. I said, "Angie, you're going to come to God because He's real." And she's like, "Okay." And the buzzer rang, super dramatic. Ah! And the cab takes us downstairs. Rachel's like, thinks I'm going to die. And so we're talking to each other like a mile a minute because we only have like 3 blocks to walk to her. We didn't go to the hospital. My head cut was gone. I'm looking at Rachel. I got so much to tell you. She says, I said, let's just pray. Like, we weren't even making any sense. We were like just talking so fast. So we knelt down by her bed.
So we had come back up to the apartment, yeah, in Victoria.
Yeah, anything you want to add in?
No, and then just that moment, yeah. So we went upstairs. It was beautiful. I think that's kind of important to say. It was a top floor single studio apartment, which you could see the Pacific Ocean from the window. So, and it was a beautiful summer evening.
We just knelt down, and maybe 30 seconds went by, maybe a minute. And I realized I wasn't speaking English. I wasn't speaking Italian. This other language was coming out of my mouth, and I just laughed. I mean, it was like this beautiful experience talking about heaven meeting earth. And I just laughed. I thought, well, I've either lost my marbles, like I'm completely crazy, or this is real. And I just kept praying. Maybe 5-10 minutes went by, just this beautiful time of prayer. Rachel's praying, speaking with a different language. I'm praying, and just flowing out of us. And there was nobody around, right? It wasn't like church. It wasn't a big thing going on. It was just her and I. And then she sits up on the bed, and I'm kneeling still. And as she starts talking about God wanting to, like, asking her to discipline, like, put Him first, not always her studies or whatever else, she's sitting up on the bed, same voice right in my heart just says, "Propose." So I'm not going to argue with God. Like, this is my first assignment. So there, I cut her off. I'm like, "Will you marry me?" I had no ring, no job, nothing to ask her dad. Her dad still holds that against me. He's like,
30 years.
But I don't know. It was just this, it was inaudible, but I knew. And so she says yes, and we start crying. We hug. The first words on my mouth was, "You know, we need to stop sleeping together now." She's like, "I know." And it was like we had our virginity back. We had 6 months before we got married. We were able to keep ourselves pure by God's grace. And Never smoked another cigarette. Never smoked drugs. I mean, never did anything. It was just gone. I was a bartender, and half a beer made me sick. For about 20-something years, I didn't touch any drop of alcohol. After I surrendered my license, I'll have a glass of wine or something with dinner. But nothing, you know, nothing like I was. And it was like I was just a different person. And that was the beginning of this story that has continued for the last 30 years of just, Dave preached about it last week, what you've begun in the spirit, can you finish in the flesh? It really spoke to me. It's like this was a spiritual encounter for me. It was what I needed to really be set free and to find the joy. And it was his answer, if you're real, show me and I'll serve you till I die. And so that was my personal Pentecost. I think Rachel's going to quickly share something else, and yes, then we'll invite people to pray.
Yes, I will very quickly share this with you. So that was a huge encounter, obviously, that began this journey for us. And we have continued to have other encounters, some that are not remotely radical like that, that are just kind of what we might see as everyday conversations with people or opportunities to share. But I do want to take 3 minutes, if I can do that, to share another encounter that I hope will bless you as it has transformed and blessed our family. So we're going to go to the end of 2021. So my daughter at the time, Genevieve, was 22 years old and received a diagnosis of breast cancer. Very young woman. I was out in the back of our home. We have a sort of little garden, which we now call God's garden, right? And I was about to pray. I had all my books. I was just kind of, as I always have all my books. So I was sitting down, and then all of a sudden, I put my books over here. I see this peacock come in to the deck. I mean, beautiful peacock, so close to me that I can see the green and blue shimmer of the feathers. And I'm so overcome that here in Wheaton, Illinois, is a peacock on my back porch. And I go to get my phone. I'm so kind of discombobulated. I try and take the picture, take a video. By the time I do, it is gone. Then my dogs come out, and they're smelling it, and I'm like, that was a peacock. This was not an open vision or anything like that. That was just a peacock in my backyard. I text my children, and I just say, guys, you just won't believe this. There was a peacock. I'm just kind of stunned that there was a peacock. About 10 minutes later, my son, who was living in Northern California at the time, had just attended a church service that said, wow, that's astonishing. The preacher just preached, this is the year of the peacock, because God is going to demonstrate his extravagant colors over his people. So I was so kind of amazed by that. It just sort of felt like, yeah, and that image stayed with me, the bird stayed with me, to the point where I would pray, and of course I'm praying for healing over my daughter, and I'm even looking, you know, on Amazon, wherever, I want a picture of this peacock, I want something to hang in our home. Anyway, the year turns, you know, our daughter is going through all of the conversations and the different things that we're contemplating. I get a call from my other daughter, who's at the University of Miami. This is the beginning of 2022, who is becoming seriously ill. I fly to Miami. We find out that our daughter, Lulu, has sepsis. So I am in the hospital with Lulu 5 days, you know, and there was a 24-hour period where we did not know if she would make it, if we were gonna lose her. Beautiful moment in that story. She's a music therapist now. She was weeping. She felt the presence of the Lord. She says, I know that God's gonna heal me because I'm meant to bring healing through music. Anyway, we come back, she's okay, we leave her, we're there for about 10 days, thank the Lord she is fully recovered, but she was so, so ill, but she was fully recovering, so now we're coming back to deal with Gigi. We were going to travel to Northern California to see our son and daughter-in-law, and we just decided, you know what, Gigi, we're going to bring you, because they have a healing rooms there, and we're going to bring you to that. So we walk into the conference. In this particular congregation, they have artist worshipers. So there's an artist who had created a piece earlier that was on a big easel about here. And of course, it was a peacock. It was the most beautiful peacock. We do have a picture of it. There it is. Okay, that was the peacock that met me as I walked in there. And Gigi visited with the healing rooms. We had prayer. There was an amazing older man. We called him Simeon. It wasn't his name, but he laid his hands on Gigi. He was, I think, from South Africa or Australia. Anyway, her healing began at that very moment. So much so that she began to discern that the lumps that she'd been able to feel were dissipating, were not there. When we got back home, she went straight to get an ultrasound, and we have this beautiful picture of one ultrasound with these masses and another one. There was only one mass remaining. And we literally have those two ultrasounds side by side, and it was her markers took about a year to come down. They didn't know if she would ever have children. She now has two children. Amen. So I just want to share that with you to bless you today. And we don't have time to read it, but just so you know, written behind that peacock picture is Ezekiel 47:1-12 that talks about the healing waters. It's the Son of Man who goes into the healing waters. It's a vision, really, of new creation. And it talks about the trees that bud in every season, and in their leaves is healing for the nation. I didn't know if I had to share this story, if I had time, but this morning our youngest son is in Sri Lanka, and we were literally driving from John and Glenda's home this morning, and I get this video from, I don't know if you can show it, if it's going to work for us. That's what interrupted, I think, at the beginning. This was sent to me this morning by my son in Sri Lanka, a peacock. So I took that as another confirmation that I needed to share that with you. So God heals. He's a healer, and healing is here today.
Yeah, so let's stand. We've kind of shared a couple of stories. The hope was that it would resonate with you, with your stories. And this might be the 1,000th encounter that you've had with God. If we could have the musicians and the people that are doing prayer come up. This might be your first experience in a church like this. It really doesn't matter. God wants to meet with us here. So we're going to worship. I'm going to invite anyone that wants to come up to the front for prayer, come up. I think there's some people that will pray with you. If we have more people than people that pray, just pray with someone. And if you need a healing, if you would like to receive the Spirit of God, God can fill you with His Spirit in a beautiful way today. And I believe it's Pentecost Sunday. I got baptized on Pentecost Sunday. That's my connection. The date was May 30th, and then that Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, where I was baptized and felt the weight of the world off my shoulders. So 31 years ago, Pentecost is a really important time for me. And I just believe God wants to meet with you. Maybe there's something that you're praying about. Maybe there's some sick child or something. Like, this is a great opportunity to let the kingdom of heaven break in. We read